Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all again today. How are you all doing today? I'm happy to be here with you once again. Let's get started and dive right in here. You have some notes on your table that says Introduction to the Bible, and that's what I'd love to cover with you this morning. You know, we do Bible study here on Tuesday mornings, and from time to time I have an opportunity to come in and talk to you myself. It occurred to me this morning, I've had these notes on the Bible in general for years and years. I've never actually presented it in this group, though, and I think we should go through it. It's just general information about what the Bible is and where it came from, and I think as we talk about it this morning, I think you'll find it's very interesting, it's informative, and it's a blessing as well. So let's start by looking at terms that we use to describe the Bible. First of all, the names that we give to the Bible. You know, names have meaning. Maybe you know what your name means. Maybe there's a history or a story behind your name. And it's possible your parents gave you the name that they gave you for some special reason. I don't know. I know what my name means. I know that there's a little bit of a story behind my name. My name is Stephen, by the way, and my parents had planned on calling me Joshua for months. You know, that was what they had in mind, and that was before the days when they knew the gender. I suppose they probably had a girl name picked out as well. I really don't know. I'll have to ask my parents about that, but they thought I was going to be Joshua, and then at the last minute, my dad had been reading something in the book of Acts about Stephen in the Bible, and he really felt a leading from the Lord to, you know, the child's name should be Stephen. So I ended up with Stephen, and that's fine with me. That's a good name. But the Bible itself has names that people give to it. Can you help me with this? What are the three most common names that people use for the Bible? Okay, Word of God, and that's right here in our notes. That's going to be number three, actually. Number three, Word of God. Pretty common name that people use for the Bible. What's another one? Scripture. Yep, that's right. And that's number two on the top of the notes there, Scripture. So we have Scripture, number two. We have Word of God, number three. These names have a special meaning that I'll talk about in just a minute. And what would be the third most common name that people give to the Bible? This is a trick question. What's number one? What's the most common name that people use for the Bible? Bible. There you go. Bible. I know. Isn't that sneaky? That's too sneaky. That's number one, though. Bible. So let's talk about these names and what they mean. First of all, number one, Bible. That comes from an old ancient Greek word that means books. So number one, Bible is the unique book. Here's a little trivia question for you. Within the pages of Scripture, does the Bible ever refer to itself as Bible? In all those books, 66 books of the Bible, does the Bible ever refer to itself as Bible? And no, I don't mean on the cover or on the title page. No? 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 Several are saying no, and that is actually correct. That's just, I don't know, a little bit of Bible trivia. Does the Bible ever call itself the Bible within the actual pages of the Bible? No, it does not, but it comes close on a couple of occasions. So let's look at Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, if you have a Bible with you there. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, and in this verse, this is one place in the Bible that it comes close to referring to itself as Bible. And I wonder, is there someone here who'd be willing to read that verse for us all? Daniel 9, verse 2. Thank you. So that's Daniel writing, and he said that he was there in captivity in Babylon. He was not living in his homeland in Israel. And he said that he picked up some books of prophecy written by Jeremiah, and he began to read that Jeremiah had prophesied the captivity would last only 70 years. And Daniel looked at his calendar and he realized that time was almost up. So he began to pray about that prophecy that he had read in the book of Jeremiah, and that God would, you know, accomplish that prophecy and begin to deliver his people. Now in Daniel 9 verse 2, what's the word that is very close to Bible? Books. Books. Yeah. Daniel said, I picked up books and I began to read them. And that's literally what Bible means. Also, I'll give you another one. You could pencil in your notes. 2 Timothy 4 verse 13. 2 Timothy 4 13. Paul wrote to Timothy in that book and he said, when you come to visit me, bring my scrolls and parchments and bring the books. And it's possible that books there is referring to scriptural books. Now this is interesting. Just reflect on this name. The title that you find most of us in our edition of the Bible, most of us right on the front, it says Holy Bible. On the spine, it says Holy Bible. On the title page, it says Bible. That's an amazing title for a book. As I mentioned before, it's a word that just means book. Comes from a Greek original, you know, the original Greek word. And so when we say the Bible, we're just saying the book. Can you imagine if a book were published today and the publisher said to the author, what do you want to title your book? And he said, let's just call it the book. Do you think that would go through? No, I don't think so. I mean, what an amazing, even arrogant thing it would be to say, I just want to call my book the book. Nothing else? No descriptive words? Nope, just the book. But when we look at this book, that's actually what we call it. It's the book. That means there's no other book quite like it. So we have a book here that's in its own category. It doesn't even need any descriptive words. We just call it the book, and that's sufficient. It's a book like no other. Okay, number two, Scripture. Let's talk about that word, Scripture. And that's another name that people give to the Bible, and what's the significance there, and how does that help us? The word Scripture refers to that which has been written, something that has been written down. You see the word script within the name Scripture, and this emphasizes the human element of the writing of the Bible. God used actual people to write these words down. Yes, it's a divine book. It's of a divine origin, but God used people. And it's so fascinating to read through Scripture, and you see from book to book, from author to author, there's different styles, different personalities. And when God used these different men to write Scripture, at least 41 different men that God used to write down Scripture, He didn't completely erase their minds and their personalities and their background when they wrote. Their personality and background comes through very strongly in what they write. Their language, their vocabulary, their style of writing, it's different. It varies from book to book. And that's a blessing because God still uses people to communicate His message. Today, God uses people to talk to other people and give His message to other people. And when God is using you or me to speak His word to others, He doesn't just erase our personality, our background, just make us like a robot or a blank slate. He uses who we are to minister to other people. And there's going to be that message that God has for you to share with others that only you can share in your unique way. And God is going to use who you are, everything about you, when you surrender yourself to Him, He's going to use all of that to minister and be a help to others. Does that make sense? That's fascinating to me that these people, and some of these people who wrote these scripture books, we know about their backgrounds a little bit. People like Matthew, he was a tax collector. He was really despised by other Jews. He was hated, and he met Jesus, and Jesus transformed his life. People like Paul, who was a Pharisee originally, and he hated Christians. In fact, he put Christians in prison, and he killed Christians. And he was right there when Stephen, the deacon, was stoned and put to death. And God changed his life and you know, made him an author of Scripture, and he wrote the majority of the New Testament. And God used him, who he was, and his education, his background. God transformed his life, but he used him to make a difference in other people's lives. That which is written. Okay, number three, the Word of God. The Word of God. And the word, Word, helps us to understand that we refer to the Bible as that which has been spoken, that which has come out of God's own mouth. It has been spoken to us. And so number two, Scripture emphasizes the humanity, the human element of the writing of the Bible. But number three emphasizes the divine element, that this is a book that came from God. It's the Word of God. Think about people's words. Think how important people's words are. You know, words reveal what is inside of us. Our opinions, our feelings, our thoughts about life, that all comes out in our words. Do you think you would believe me if I said to you, I really care about you, I really do, but I did not pay attention to your words? I mean, imagine the situation. Maybe we're conversing in the hallway. You're trying to tell me something important, something that's on your mind. You're really trying to communicate with me. And the whole time, I'm not listening. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm thinking, wow, I got to go. And you're trying to talk to me, and I'm not listening. And then I say, I care about you. I really do. Would you believe that? If I say I care about you, but I do not care about your words, it would be hard to believe. This is maybe cliche, but, you know, a husband and wife, where the wife is trying to speak to the husband. The husband's got other things going on, and he's trying to work on something else, and he's just saying, uh-huh, okay, yeah. And the wife feels like he doesn't really care because he's not focused on what she's saying, right? Because our words reveal what's inside of us. And so it's hard for the husband to convince the wife, I really love you, I really do. I don't care about your words, but I do love you. It doesn't make sense. How we treat God's word really absolutely does reveal how we think about Him. It's impossible to say, I care about God, I love God, I value His opinions and thoughts about life, but I ignore His word. I do not spend much time in His Word. I don't pay attention to His Word. I don't read it. I don't listen to it. I don't respond to it. But I love God. You see that that's impossible to say. What we have here in this Bible, when we call it the Word of God, we're saying this came out of God Himself. And there needs to be a measure of respect. We don't worship the Bible like an idol or a religious icon. It's not like that, but we need to respect our Bible. More than anything, we need to get into our Bible and read it and think about it and meditate on it and really love it. When I was young, I was trained never put anything on top of a Bible. That's the way I was brought up. If you have a copy of the Bible, you have a copy of Scripture, it's just, you know, it's what I was always taught. Never put anything on top of it. Never put it on the floor. Don't throw it. Don't drop it. You show respect to it. And I guess it got into me because even to this day, I have a really hard time to, you know, if I have a Bible here and somebody puts something on top of it, I always have to take it off. It's just a habit that got into me. And I know, I understand it's just paper and it's just ink. You know, I know that, but there's a measure of respect. It's like, you know, my wife, she writes me notes and letters from time to time. I don't believe in 15 years of marriage I've ever thrown one away. A note that my wife has written to me, I probably have, but in my office, I could show you right now, I have stacks of notes that my wife has written to me. It's just hard to throw them away. It's just because it's something she took the time to write it. She was expressing her thoughts. I don't know. I don't worship the notes, but it's just hard to throw them out. I show respect, and we show respect to the Bible. I read a book years ago that was written by a Christian man who was formerly Muslim, and he had converted from Islam to Christianity, and he wrote about some of his experiences. At the end of the book, he gave some tips about how to reach out to Muslim people, how to show love and concern and so forth, and if you're a Christian person, how to relate. And he gave some advice, he gave some tips. One of the things he said was that Muslim people have a hard time understanding why Christians show such disrespect to their Bibles. And I know that's a generalization. It's not speaking about every Christian person, but a Muslim person views the Bible as a holy book, and they wouldn't be as disrespectful as some Christian people are, dropping and throwing and putting it on the floor and things like that. So that's just a little note, just something to think about. How do we treat God's Word? Do we really revere it in that way? It comes from God's own heart and character. How do we relate to it? A couple other points here. I think these next couple, I'll just go through these quickly. I'm not going to take time to zero in on this. Number one, illumination. Terms we use to describe the nature of Scripture. Number one, illumination. I'm sorry, it's the wrong word. Inspiration. Number one is inspiration. Number two is illumination. Getting ahead of myself. I apologize. Number one, inspiration. What does that mean? Inspiration is a Bible term that's mostly coming from 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The process by which Scripture was produced by God. Number one, inspiration. The process by which Scripture was produced by God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. The word inspiration actually means breathed out. It's almost like exhaled. All Scripture is given by being exhaled from God. It's like the Word of God we were just talking about. It comes right out of God Himself. It's very personal. In our copy of the Bible, there will be some things in the pages that are not inspired. A couple of us were just talking about this a minute ago. Can you give me an example of something in your copy of the Bible that was not actually exhaled originally by God? Chapter and verse divisions. We're not original. They're very, very helpful. I'm glad they're there. It makes things a lot easier. Yes, if you have a concordance in the back, as I do right here, to look up words, not original. Helpful. Nothing wrong with it, but yeah, not original. Anything else? Headings at the top of chapters to tell you what it's all about, or even in the middle of the chapter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even the titles of the books, frankly. Because if you're writing a letter to somebody, you're not going to title your letter 2 Corinthians. It's a title that was placed there later on to help us out. And number two, terms that we use to describe the Bible, illumination, the process by which Scripture is explained by the Holy Spirit and understood by believers. Illumination. And there's some extra scriptures there. I'm not going to take the time right now to look at those scriptures. But the idea of illumination means basically turning on the lights so you can see things. I know you've had this experience before if you're a Christian person and you've studied your Bible. I know you've had the experience of reading a scripture that just seemed like it just came alive and it was so relevant to you. Maybe a scripture you'd read in the past. You read it before, and it was just words the last time you read it, but this time you read it, and it's just so meaningful, and it relates to your life. That experience is illumination. It's when, pardon me, I'll be back. Okay. It's like when the lights are off. You're reading a scripture, you don't have the spiritual sense, you don't have the spiritual understanding, you're looking to the Lord, you're praying, asking for help, and then the lights come on. And you can see what you're looking at, and it makes so much sense now. The Bible's a unique book in that way. You can go right to the author and ask for help. You can't really do that with any other book that I know of. If you're reading some Shakespeare and you don't understand it, you can't go and ask him. Can you explain what you wrote here? It doesn't work. Might be nice, but it doesn't work. Do you know that you can go directly to the author when you're reading Scripture, it doesn't immediately make sense. It's confusing to you. And I encourage you to do that. When you're reading a verse that's not clear immediately, give the Holy Spirit a chance. I'm not opposed to Bible study helps. It's not wrong to go read another, you know, commentary or book, but give the Holy Spirit a chance. Ask Him. You're the author. Can you explain it to me? Yes, ma'am. Explained by the Holy Spirit and understood. Understood by believers. Yep. Okay, the statistics chart. Do you all have an interest in statistics? Are you mathematically minded? Do you find that fascinating? You might wonder, why is there a chart of statistics on a page that's supposed to be a spiritual help? This chart is full of numbers, but I'll tell you this, it's very interesting, and I think you will find it kind of spiritually exciting and spiritually enlightening to look at the statistics in the Bible. I'll make a few applications as we go through. Okay, the number of books. The Bible is a collection of books. Somebody tell me, how many books total in the whole Bible? Anyone? 66. So that goes in the total blank. How many books in the New Testament? 27. And those of you who are mathematically inclined, 66 minus 27 is how many in the Old Testament? 39. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 66 total. Let's talk about chapters real quick. Do you know how many chapters are in the Bible? 66 books. What do you think would be the average number of chapters in a Bible book? It's hard to say. Some have a lot. Some only have one.
I think the seminary students have to know that.
They should know that. You should ask one. Stop a student and ask them, how many chapters are in the Bible? They should know. 1,189. 1,189. That's the total. Total chapters. 1,189. So if you want to read through the Bible in a year, 365 days, how many chapters would you have to read each day on average? 1,189. Yep. About 3 1/4. It's about 3 1/4. So every third day you'll have to read an extra chapter.